Coming up on Tech News Today, Intel willing to spend some cash to bring you internet cable TV. Google bans facial recognition in glass, irks the developers. And is this the last generation of game consoles? All that and more coming up.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Monday, June 10th, 2013. Tech News Today is brought to you by TechServe. TechServe assists U.S. businesses of all sizes with their technology needs, including Apple, Avid, Adobe, and HP solutions. Visit TechServe.com/TNT and receive a complimentary iPad deployment assessment. And by GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with colleagues and clients from anywhere. You can share the same screen and see each other face-to-face with HD video conferencing, even from an iPad. Sign up for your 30-day free trial today. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use promo code TNT. And by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create a professional website, blog, portfolio, or online store. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase on new accounts, go to squarespace.com and use offer code TNT6. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
I'm Aya Zakhtar.
And I'm Jason Howell.
And this is the show we keep you up to date on the tech news in the world. Special day today, Apple's WWDC keynote, Microsoft and Sony's E3 announcements are today. Twit will cover those announcements in special breaking news podcasts at twit.tv/special. We'll recap and discuss all those announcements on tomorrow's show as well. Meanwhile, let's start with the top 10 stories this morning in the news feeds.
Good selection.
It was a lively weekend for followers of the NSA. First, U.S. Director of National Intelligence James R. Clapper released a statement declassifying portions of the PRISM data collection system and clarifying that the system is used to collect foreign intelligence under court supervision. Another leak revealed the tool Boundless Informant, sort of a heat map of the amount of data collected region by region, which seems to show the NSA has much more data at its fingertips than it has admitted. And biggest of all, former CIA employee and NSA contractor Edward Snowden revealed himself as the leaker of the PRISM documents and the Verizon court order that we read about in The Guardian and The Washington Post earlier last week.
Google is very close to buying Waze for $1.3 billion, an Israeli newspaper called Globes reported yesterday, which may make this really real this time and put to rest potential rival offers for the Israeli mapping startup. The report didn't cite sources or provide many further details, but All Things D is now reporting the same.
Comcast is building out its Wi-Fi network by equipping homes of Xfinity subscribers with a new gateway device that acts as a Wi-Fi hotspot. Now, that hotspot will be freely accessible by other Xfinity subscribers. Folks who don't have Comcast will be able to access the hotspot twice before being required to pay. Comcast says the hotspot's usage will not affect the host subscriber. If you have one of these new gateway devices and don't want to be a hotspot, you have to opt out.
Apple, in its mercurial way, decided, let's stream this year's WWDC keynote event. An Apple events icon widget showed up with the WWDC 2013 logo on Apple TV, as well as a page on Apple's website. Somehow, Apple could only get the stream to work on Safari for OS X or iOS on its website, but maybe the engineers will do better next time.
iRobot has added another product to its line of helpful droids called the Ava 500. It's kind of like a Roomba vacuum, but more corporate and more expensive. The Ava, which is apparently short for Avatar, is a wheeled robot designed to navigate in corporate offices and facilitate video conference calls between workers and colleagues who are remote. Comes with a high-def video screen, onboard mapping smarts, Cisco's Telepresence, which is a high-quality video conferencing system. iRobot will lease the Ava 500 to customers for between $2,000 and $2,500 per month.
Wow.
Yeah.
If you wanted to upgrade your phone on AT&T, you'll have to wait a little longer than before. Engadget reports that AT&T is extending its device upgrade interval from 20 months to 24 months. The new waiting period will apply to new customers and to any subscriber whose term ends in March or later. Verizon made a similar shift back in April.
Adobe launched Photoshop Lightroom 5 for Windows and Mac OS Monday. The update includes the Advanced Healing Brush for fixing imperfections in your photos, not your life. The Upright tool that automatically straightens objects and Radial Gradients for applying off-center and multiple vignettes to a single image. It's free in your Creative Cloud subscription, or you pay $149 standalone or upgrade for $79.
Well, this is going to excite a small number of you people out there. Sony introduced a brand new Google TV set-top box, the NSZGS8. Whatever.
Catching
it's powered by an ARM processor and can handle voice control thanks to a microphone in the remote. The new Google TV box will cost about $200 and will be available in early July.
The Verge reports on the strange journey of a lost Windows Phone prototype. Jeremiah Wong bought a Lumia 920 on eBay and realized when he got it, the screens looked a little different, posted some shots to Flickr, and accidentally revealed his phone number, got a call from Microsoft who offered to reimburse him for the phone and send him a replacement phone. They also remotely disabled the prototype and asked him to take the screenshots down. Apparently, the prototype containing an early version of Windows Phone Blue had been left on a bus by mistake.
Get out the confetti. The Department of Justice has given its blessing to the marriage of SoftBank and Sprint. Now, don't you go throwing that confetti yet, because SoftBank and the Sprint merger now goes to the FCC for final approval. Oh, and the deal could go south if Sprint ends up with Dish, because Dish is also bidding on the company. If the Dish does run away with the spoon, I mean Sprint, Reuters reports that SoftBank might be eyeing T-Mobile for acquisition as a backup plan. You know what? Put away your confetti.
I'm going to call Sprint the spoon if Dish buys them. From now on. This episode of Tech News Today brought to you by TechServe, New York's premier authorized Apple reseller and technology provider. If you're a creative professional at any level, doesn't matter if you're at a Fortune 100 company or just an individual proprietor, you need to roll out a bunch of iPads. You want to talk to these people. They carry a full range of Apple products, iPhones, iPads, iMacs, MacBooks, iPods. I have a range of partnerships with top vendors to facilitate flexible, efficient, and creative solutions. We talk all the time about the premier one. If you've been through the Delta terminal in either LaGuardia Airport or Toronto or Minneapolis, you may have been impressed by those iPads at the seats. You can check your email on them. You can order food on them. That was done by OTG Management, the hospitality company that manages Delta's terminals. But they turned to TechServe to provide, configure, and install what turns out to be the world's largest deployment of iPads. TechServe is able to do full lifecycle management for all your tech needs by providing the devices you need, getting them up and running, teaching you and your staff how to use them effectively, not just throw some stuff at you, but like get you to be able to effectively use them, and maintaining them so they're working efficiently. TechServe also provides ongoing support, so if your enterprise has a problem, helps just a phone call away. If your business is considering integrating iOS technology at your workplace, then contact TechServe today. Receive a complimentary iPad deployment assessment. That's TechServe, TechServe.com/TNT. And TechServe will help you assess your current or future iPad needs and give you the advice to make it a success. That's TechServe.com, TechServe with a K, TechServe.com/TNT. We thank TechServe for their support of Tech News Today. All right, let's get into the whistleblowing to start off today's show. Edward Snowden, I'm sure everybody's been reading about him. He's an infrastructure analyst, sort of a sysadmin type. He used to work for the CIA. In fact, he started there as a building guard and worked his way up through IT. Recently, he's been a contractor. That's not unusual for people to go into the contract industry for intelligence. He's been a contractor for the NSA with several companies, most recently Booz Allen Hamilton. And he came forward in The Guardian and said, I'm the guy. I'm the guy that leaked this stuff, and I did it on purpose. He said, I didn't leak it frivolously. He's like, I could have leaked a lot worse information, things that would have done damage and harmed people. Here's his quote. I carefully evaluated every single document I disclosed to ensure that each was legitimately in the public interest. There are all sorts of documents that would have made a big impact that I didn't turn over because harming people isn't my goal. Transparency is. Booz Allen Hamilton says news reports that this individual has claimed to have leaked classified information are shocking, and if accurate, this action represents a grave violation of the code of conduct and core values of our firm. So he's probably not got a job with Booz Allen. That's pretty safe to say anymore. Also, over the weekend, James R. Clapper, the director of national intelligence, said PRISM is not an undisclosed collection or data mining program. It is an internal government computer system used to facilitate the government's statutorily authorized collection of foreign intelligence information from electronic communication service providers under court supervision. By all accounts, by sysadmins who are familiar with this sort of thing, it seems to be what's going on here is an API. Not a direct server. Everybody who's denied that they have direct server access to the NSA is probably telling the truth. There's probably some sort of API so that the folks at the NSA can say, okay, here's our court order. Here's the data we're looking for. They put it into the API, and the API automatically manages that. And Twitter is the only company that's like, no, we're not going to put in an API and make it easy for you guys. You want to bring a service with papers and do it the hard way? That's the way we'll do it. That's what it sounds like is going on. Bunch of people are jumping to Edward Snowden's defense, and I will leave that to the political blogs and shows to discuss what you think of Snowden. But what effect is this going to have on the internet? I think that's an interesting question I'd like to discuss with you guys. Are we going to see companies less likely to want to do business in the U.S. just based on the fear that maybe their customers' private information would be subject to this sort of wiretapping, even given the cautions here? Ayaz, what do you think?
You know, the thing is, I think this is supposed to be targeted against foreign countries. So the foreign parties. So if companies want to come to the U.S. or not, I think that might be somewhat irrelevant. It's the fact that these other countries are going to have issues with connecting to the U.S. at all. If they can't block Microsoft or Google, unless they block all of these servers, which would cut off effectively the internet to everybody else, it seems like there's no way around it. Maybe they would be enhanced monitoring by other countries to see what's being monitored by other countries. It just seems like it's going to cause just a larger issue in general unless you block the internet around the world.
Yeah, and if I'm a startup, do I feel like, oh, I've got a budget down the road for an API to be built for the NSA? I mean, this could be a – some people are arguing – I'm not sure I buy it, but some people are arguing this could be a break on innovation as well. Sarah – is it just overheated rhetoric right now in the wake of this? What do you think?
Well, I'm not sure. I think that this is, you know, this whole story being blown open and just sort of how it's unfolded is really fascinating. And I think we're at a point where we're now aware that the NSA has been collecting information that, you know, many people suspected was happening anyway, but there's proof that wasn't previously there. And you've got a company like Twitter who that has been really, really vocal about not wanting to cooperate in instances that it feels it doesn't need to. You've got a company like Google it's a little bit unclear what's going on here, but it seems like they're in cooperation with the government. So, you know, those are two very large companies. I'm not sure as a startup how much somebody has to take into account the fact that this may be an issue down the road, you know, in a matter of months, in a matter of years. But yeah, I mean, that's probably something that companies are going to have to take seriously.
Some in the back of their mind anyway, yeah. For sure. I mean, you think about it, compare it to telcos, which actually under Kalea have to have an intercept system in place to run a telephone system. This is less intrusive. This is basically just what tech companies do. When somebody needs to request information regularly over time, what do? You create an API. That's kind of standard procedure in the tech world. So I think it's good on the political side for the public to have a debate over these sorts of issues, what the government's role is in this, what public oversight should exist. And we talked about that a little bit on Friday. I think it's not surprising that tech companies would want to make the request easier. It does put my mind a little bit, tiny bit more at ease that this seems to be not as bad as it sounded when first reported in the middle of last week. I think it's a good debate to have. Should these companies be making it easy to request this information? How much information is being collected? Snowden's saying that he could look up anybody at any time and find out what's going on with them. That's what that boundless informant heat map is for, is to show how good they're doing in all the different countries. By the way, U.S. is a nice bright yellow in that, which means that they've got a lot of information on us. All right, let's talk about Intel offering to throw some money at the internet TV problem. They're going to do it, right?
It looks like it. Reuters is reporting that Intel is offering to pay up to 75% more than traditional cable rates to media companies to get content for its TV service. Why the premium price? Well, media companies typically give better prices to operators with more viewers, such as large cable companies, and the fact that Intel service or reported service has yet to start, it has no viewers, so they have to pay a premium here. A Reuters source says that Intel hasn't closed any programming deals, but Viacom, News Corp, and CBS have reached agreements on certain distribution details. I'm not really sure what that means. A new detail on potential service, Intel has suggested preventing viewers from skipping commercials on the first run of a show, according to one of Reuters' sources. Tom, if this report is true, Intel is going to pay a real premium to get its TV service off the ground. Does the venture make sense for Intel to be in this business at that cost?
I guess somebody is going to have to do this, right? They're going to have to throw more money than it's worth to get it off the ground because the industry is so resistant. And I think what's probably going on when they say programming deals haven't been struck, but details are, is exactly that kind of detail, like, okay, we'll agree to stop skipping on the DVR the first time you watch a show, or we will, this is how we'll distribute it. That's the bigger hump, is getting the agreement to distribute. After that, it's just figuring out how much you're going to pay per sub and all that stuff. And that's why the programming deal might not have closed. They haven't agreed on a price yet, but it sounds like Intel's willing to, I mean, they're gambling their future on this is what it sounds like.
Sarah, the Reuters report was talking about how Intel lost out in the mobile business because they didn't get on board early enough. If they get on board and become the pioneer in bringing video over the internet, will they have will they be the de facto standard when it comes to internet television?
Well, if it ends up being a great service, sure. I mean, paying up to 75% more than what cable rates are set at seems a little crazy to me. But again, I guess it's if you're trying to prove a model, you're a new entry into a new market, you know, maybe that's something that lowers over time if it's a real success. I don't know what it looks like. So I think there are just a lot of questions still as to whether or not this is worth it for Intel. But they do appear to be taking it seriously.
The other thing is, if this is going to cost Intel a lot of money, it's going to probably cost the consumer a lot of money. It's not like, oh, yeah, we'll just take a hit and the consumers won't be paying for this somehow. The reports have talked about Intel trying to figure out how to bring this to people. They have to bring all these deals together. And I just don't know whether it makes any sense for Intel to be in this business in the first place, let alone being the pioneer in it.
Well, especially because you have to convince consumers too. It's like, well, we're new, we're trying to get into this business. So for now, you're going to have to watch the commercials, and you don't have to do that with the cable box you're already using. But still, trust us. It's like the product has to be really great in order for people to say it's worth it, because it's hard to make sure that the consumers understand how hard it is to enter the market, right?
I don't think it necessarily has to cost the consumers a lot, at least right out of the gate. I think Intel may be a little clever about figuring out ways to monetize it down the road, but you're going to have to keep the price low to get people to enter in, because your audience of cord cutters, people who don't want to pay the high prices anymore. So that could be part of this reason that they're saying Intel is going to throw a lot of money at this, is that they're willing to charge a lower rate and pay a higher rate on the other end. Whether that makes sense or not, I don't know. But I know that Intel really does need something that will succeed its chip business. Its desktop and laptop chip business at best is mature, and a lot of analysts think is going to decline. So this is one of their ways of betting on the future.
I think this could be a real interesting start. If Intel can get into this business, that means other companies will compete eventually. Because if this deal is struck, if Intel is the company that can get these companies on board, if they can get all these media networks together, that means maybe eventually we'll see more competitors with like something like a Google or Microsoft or somebody out there. Because once the model is proven, it might loosen the barriers to this lockdown. We're still stuck with cable. We have to have cable.
Yeah, I think that's what Intel's counting on, is everybody wants something like this. So hopefully they can get a land rush if they're the first one in. The other way they're betting on the future is on phones, on mobile phones. They desperately want to get those Atom chips into more mobile devices. And I guess one way is to come up with your own phone UI, right, Sarah?
Yeah. So it's kind of fun because we're at least for the live viewers, we're not too far away from seeing a new UI on iOS. But who cares about iOS when you've got Obsidian? This is actually Intel planning its own UI overlay. This is the code name Obsidian that will layer on top of Tizen, possibly even Android down the road. A source that works at Intel, unnamed, of course, basically gave Ars Technica a bunch of screenshots and some video of Obsidian running. Of course, Tizen is backed by the Linux Foundation, Samsung, and Intel. Hasn't shipped any physical devices yet. The reference device, Intel reference device, that apparently will be the first to run the Obsidian UI is codenamed Josephine. The original dev ready date for the UI for this was supposed to be July. Apparently, earlier deadlines have slipped. So Intel's not making any official announcements regarding the Tizen releases, but we at least, you know, we're certainly looking at least some sort of a beta prototype. And there's some interesting things about the UI. For example, one of the interesting ones is instead of a little notification, like a little bubble over an icon that says something like, you know, three emails that you have to read. What it'll do is the icon will rotate 45 degrees and display a red notification in the bottom corner to differentiate from the rest of the apps. Okay. Icons, you know, it seems like they're trying to do some cool stuff. There's, you know, the phone UIs and layers on top of Tizen, which we haven't even seen any hardware yet for this, and then possibly Android down the road. I mean, have you looked at this stuff? Does any of it catch your eye?
I did take a look at the UI videos, and I looked at the screenshots, and it looks like a good start. It does seem very derivative of everything that's out there. It looks like a bit like iOS got together with Windows Phone with some of these tiles and a bit of widgets from Android. So it kind of looks like this mashup. But I think because it is derivative, if this does come out at some point, people will know how to use it from the get-go. Because what you don't want necessarily is this brand new interface. How do I interact with my phone? Intel doesn't want to have to teach people how to use this. And this looks like this could be something useful for its Tizen operating system that's been sitting around, and Intel hopes gets off the ground.
Tom,
I like the way the little notification tilts the icon to the right.
Do you like that?
I do.
I'm not sure how I feel about it. I'm not sure if it seems different for the sake of being different.
I think that it catches my eye better without making me feel like I have an undo thing. Like I don't have a thing that I have to go and take care of off a to-do list. It just says, oh, this one happened. I want something that doesn't make me feel guilty like I'm not keeping up.
You would rather be tilted than have a badge? Is that what you're trying to say, Tom?
Yeah, the badge makes me feel like there's something on my to-do list I need to check off.
Well, there is. Look at your email.
I know. Yeah,
I sent you four.
Answer that phone.
But what happens when you have all notifications on every single application? They're all tilted. Do you just not notice that anymore?
Yeah, I don't know. Some of this UI stuff is... It's always fascinating to see what companies come up with, because you do want something to differentiate you from the pack, but at the same time it has to be familiar enough so someone goes, oh, this is cool, I can do this. This sort of looks like my old phone, but there's something new and different about it. And I don't know, maybe I just have UI on the brain.
Shines bright like a diamond.
That's
all right.
A win.
On that note, let's take a break and thank our other sponsor. You know, summer technically is almost here. Kind of feels in some places like it's already been here. But the weather's great in a lot of places. Kids are getting out of school, going outside, lots of places to be. Even though you don't want to be at work, business doesn't stop. Good news is you can escape the office, still stay connected, and talk to your coworkers and clients face-to-face. Share ideas, problem solve. Get projects done. Just use GoToMeeting with HD Faces. With GoToMeeting by Citrix, it just takes a click to share your screen and work on documents in real time. Just turn on your webcam, make your online meetings an HD video conference. See each other face-to-face, kind of like meeting in person. Easily launch or join a meeting from wherever you are. Whenever you need to use your computer, your smartphone, or your tablet, it's kind of like teleportation. You can even present from your iPad. I was just down in Santa Clara a couple weeks ago, right across from the Citrix headquarters. These guys have been in the Valley for a long time. They know what they're doing, and this stuff works. We use it for meetings all the time at Twit. So here's what you need to do. I love GoToMeeting. I think you'll like it too. Try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. For this special offer, visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code TNT. Remember, use that promo code TNT. GoToMeeting. Meeting is believing. We thank Citrix for their ongoing support of Tech News Today. All right. Developers aren't thanking Google for bowing to privacy concerns and banning facial recognition from apps being developed for Google Glass.
Yeah, that's right. Members of Congress wrote to Larry Page a couple weeks ago asking whether or not Google is going to prevent unintentional collection of data with Google Glass and whether or not it would allow facial recognition. They wanted a response by June 14th, and Google, with a few days to spare, has banned both facial recognition and voice print technology from Glass. They announced it on their Google Plus page. Not just facial recognition apps, but updates to the actual developer policy expanding the ban to voice prints, saying any applications that use the camera or microphone to immediately identify other than the user will not be approved at this time. You say, okay, well, who does that really affect? Well, at a recent conference, a developer named Lance Nanek showed off a facial recognition glass app he built for the medical industry. For a set of patients who are entered into the system, it would allow a glass-wearing doctor or clinician or something to verify someone's identity, bring up records on, you know, allergies or existing prescriptions, basically without having to go and use a computer or enter any data into something like that. So he's saying, listen, this would actually be really great for everybody, for patients, for doctors, for the industry at large. And there's nothing nefarious about something like that. But under this policy, I can't, that, you know, this app won't be allowed for Google Glass. Now, under developer overview, Google controls what the display output of any application will be on Glass. So Google could block people from sending out photos and getting those photos recognized. This is something that, you know, Google's in charge of. Tom, what do you think? Do you think that this is maybe a let's keep Congress happy for the time being and then perhaps figure out how Google can go through these apps one by one, or are they just playing it safe?
I think it's Congress and people. I think people, I mean, we've seen the bars that maybe as a publicity stunt, maybe not, ban Google Glass, but there's a lot of people out there who are afraid of Google Glass and afraid of being spied upon. So I think Google's sensitive to that because that's also driving the congressional concern as well. And they don't want to tangle with Congress on another issue if they don't have to. I do think that this is unfortunate. I think that what developers should be doing with beta hardware is trying out all kinds of different things. And I think it's too early to be super concerned about this sort of thing. Obviously, you want to have privacy controls in place, even in a beta. But to just ban an entire technology, that kind of goes against what Google is known for, which is going out on a limb and experimenting and trying new things all over the place. And especially with those medical type examples that you brought up, it feels like we're going the wrong direction. We're actually developing less than we could for new technology in this case.
Well, and that's the thing with Google Glasses. You know, it's not just about having a little computer in the corner of your eye. This is supposed to be sort of breakthrough technology, you know, that allow us to do things that we could never do before with any of the computers that we had at the ready. Ayaz, do you think that this is going to stifle innovation?
I think it might do the opposite. The Google itself showed how to root the device and run Ubuntu on it. So perhaps like a cottage industry will show up with using this hardware. They'll buy Glass in mass, and then what they'll do is they'll customize an operating system for that. In this particular, in the medical field, customized hardware is pretty normal. It's not like you just go buy an MRI machine just, you know, off the street. So I think you could see a really customized version of Google Glass just for the medical industry. Because Google's big concern was privacy. They don't want to get in trouble because they're recognizing faces. Google doesn't want that hassle. But if a company was enterprising enough that they wanted to customize the hardware with its own UI, with its own software, I think we're probably going to see that in the long run.
Good point. And I think that that's usually what happens with technology, right? If you try to stop something, people route around it some way. And that may be what Google's encouraging here. Gardner in the chat room points out that this is out in the public. And maybe that's one of the problems, is that Google made their beta hardware popular. They gave it to people who aren't strictly developers, right? They gave it to people to go and beta test with. If they hadn't done such a good job promoting it, maybe it wouldn't be so much of a concern. All right, let's finish off with Xbox One, PlayStation 4 unveiled today at E3. Spending on console gaming topped out in 2009, though. So a lot of people are looking at this to goose the sales figures for console gaming back up. In 2009, it peaked at $14.1 billion. Forbes quotes DFC Intelligence's David Cole saying the current console top tops in at $12 billion in 2016. So in other words, they need something to get the console numbers going back up to make more money off this. The NPD Group says, well, the problem isn't gaming. The number of American gamers has risen from 205.9 million in 2012 to 209.9 million in 2013. It's just that they're playing on iPads. They're playing on Nexus 7s. They're playing on their phones. They're playing on, in some cases, TVs. Lots of little things like Ouyas out there. They're playing games. They're just not playing them all on the game console anymore, PCs included. They're playing on PCs. So what is the future for game consoles? Will we actually get a PlayStation 5 or a next box? Or is this the last of the giant consoles? And when it comes around in 8 years to reviving these things, 5 to 8 years, what is it going to be like? Are they going to be dongles that we just plug into our TV, or will they have just merged into all of these other form factors? If you had to make a guess, Ayaz Akhtar, what would you say?
8 years is a long time to look into the future, so I'm thinking we're going to lose these boxes. We're going to have smarter TVs that have Ethernet or have Wi-Fi or something like that, and you're going to subscribe to services. You'll be able to subscribe to Xbox Live on your TV, and so that will give you the same kind of system. And the way Microsoft is moving with by installing your games on the actual console, if we have faster speeds in 8 years, in theory, we should be able to have video game streaming pretty easily. So no more boxes.
Yeah, and Microsoft is already trying to pivot the Xbox to become an entertainment box, not strictly a video game box. Sony's doing the same thing. Sarah, do we see these sort of becoming services that are tied to some kind of machinery that's diverse? Where do you think all this ends up going?
I think that the console is in the long term probably going to go away. I mean, the idea of having a physical box that you have to put somewhere near your TV and hook it up so that your games and your services and your movies and everything goes through there and then connects to your TV. That's, you know, ultimately doesn't make a lot of sense. And as the TVs get smarter and there are apps run in the TV, and yes, there are a variety of cloud services that you can subscribe to, I just see that just makes more sense to me. Put it all in one place. You know, who knows what some of these services will look like or will offer a few years down the road. But yeah, I mean, I'm with Ayaz on this one. I think the consoles are probably going to be dinosaurs.
It does seem like a lot of people want it to fade into the television. But I for one, am one of those people who, while I think there will be a lot of people opt for that, that won't be the most popular way. You'll want a box. So whether Sony and Microsoft succeed in becoming one of those boxes, I think we'll still have some kind of set-top box-like thing. And maybe it will be just a little dongle that you plug into the side or the back of your television. I'm sure it doesn't have to be a big old Xbox One looking box or even a Sony PlayStation 4 looking box. But I do think that will happen. That will continue. And that's what that next round of consoles will be. And gaming will just become another service on all your devices. But I think the idea of a game console just kind of fades into the background. And gaming becomes, and the things like Steam become the wave of the future, essentially. All right, let's finish off with a randomizer. Bag to go, BAG, the number 2, and GO, is from a European aircraft manufacturer called Airbus. You might have ridden on their planes. Well, Bag to go comes with GPS, RFID, and a 2G mobile connection that allows you to sync your bag's location with your phone. So you can track it, and if the airline loses it, you can say, well, this is where it is. It's in Baltimore, for goodness sake. 2G connection, though, I don't know. Is that going to work, Sarah?
This is a great idea, actually. Do we have to buy the luggage, though? I mean, can't we just all have these little, like, GPS trackers, and then you can decide to put them in a variety of things? Makes perfect sense.
Yeah, maybe. It's still in early development, so yeah. maybe they're putting it in the bag as a prototype way of demonstrating. And I wouldn't mind having one.
Yeah.
I'd like it solid, though. I want it sewn in. I don't want it to fall off.
Well, but if you have something that you can put in a variety of things, you've got a beach bag. Where'd that beach bag go? You know, sometimes people misplace them at the beach. Hey, the airline lost my luggage. Like, you can, like, pick and choose where it is, depending on what you're looking for. I just love this, where it's like, hey, let's create luggage that will help when the people who are supposed to transport your luggage lose your luggage. Because it happens often enough that this is actually something that I mean, if someone's been burned by lost luggage in the past, these are the people who are going to buy this.
All right, let's take a quick break and thank our other sponsor for today's show, Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that's fast and easy to create a special website. You got a portfolio, you got a gallery you want to make. I use it for our science fiction and fantasy book club, Sword and Laser. It's an all-in-one platform that just makes it easy to create a professional-looking website. They've got award-winning templates that you can use. It's exceptionally well-designed. They added a new calendar feature called the Events Collection. It allows you to share schedule updates, store sales events, because they have a store support team in there. Prices start as low as $8 a month for the software. And Squarespace is a real value because it's reliable. They're taking care of your uptime for you. It's fast and easy to use. Drag and drop e-commerce solutions integrated with every Squarespace template. And this is the part I love, is the best mobile experience. I don't have to worry about having my template look like crap on all these different screen sizes everybody's using, because the templates are designed to adapt. And not some crappy mobile version of your site, but your full site, just in a layout that works if somebody's on a 4-inch screen or a 7-inch screen or a big old laptop or desktop. Squarespace connects to all your social media accounts too, integrates all your website needs into one platform. Domains, design, development, commerce, hosting, and 24/7 customer support. For a free trial, go to squarespace.com, sign up for a free account. You don't have to give them a credit card or nothing. Just start building out that website. You'll see what I'm talking about. If you decide to purchase it, use the code TNT6. And get 10% off your first purchase on new account, including monthly and annual plans. Don't forget about free domain registrations, too. If you sign up for that annual plan, you get a free domain name that's yours to keep. That's squarespace.com. Use that offer code TNT6. Everything you need to create an exceptional website. And we thank Squarespace for their support of Tech News Today. Well, lots going on today, E3 WWDC, but more coming later in the week. What's happening in the calendar, Sarah?
Yeah, it's kind of a crazy week. Tomorrow on the 11th, House of Cards is coming to both Blu-ray and DVD. Also tomorrow, Apple will officially end support for the original iPhone, although California law requires service of 7 years. Who knew? So it's actually still going to be supported in California. E3 officially kicks off tomorrow in LA. The Search Marketing Expo, also dubbed SMX Advance, starts tomorrow, runs through Wednesday the 12th in Seattle. Tomorrow, Facebook is webcasting its first ever stockholders meeting. Told you about that last week, but that's happening tomorrow. And the WikiPad, also tomorrow, is launching in the U.S. for $250. There'll be a worldwide launch later this summer.
Let's see what's incoming.
Incoming message.
Our first voicemail is another theory on what should happen with Hulu. Voicemailer, tell us.
Since the latest craze is guessing who's going to buy Hulu, I say Microsoft. With them announcing the original content for Halo TV shows, I think they'd fit right in with Hulu or Netflix or YouTube trying to become legit creators of content. And if they could bundle in the Hulu subscription price to their Xbox Live subscription, it's $8 a month of value that they're adding to their to all the people complaining about paying to watch or to play social gaming. Anyway, just my thought. Later.
That's intriguing, although I haven't heard any rumors of Microsoft in their bidding. Have you guys?
No rumors of that just yet, but it does seem like it would make a lot of sense for their Xbox video division if they had Hulu built in.
They've definitely been sniffing around Hollywood looking for more original projects. That's the one thing. If you're into making television shows these days, you not only have the broadcasters and the cable networks, but you've also got the Netflixes and the Amazons and the Microsofts all out there bidding for your work now. So it's probably a great time to be a TV executive producer.
Got an email from Mark who says, on Friday's episode of TNT and the story about Apple and the potential release of a streaming music service, you missed a biggie. If you live somewhere other than the U.S., then you typically don't have Pandora or Spotify, etc. Few countries do have some of these options, but some locations have effectively no music streaming services. I suspect Apple will be able to do a worldwide streaming service all in the countries where you can currently buy music from them via iTunes. As such, Apple will become the king of streaming in a global sense. We'll find out more on Monday, of course.
That's funny because I always think of Europe as having more streaming selections because they had Spotify first, and Spotify is one of the most popular ones out there. We'll see. The music industry has actually been resistant to give nice licensing terms to Apple in the past. So that'll be interesting to take a look at. Mike in D.C. used to work for an organization that looked at the problem of credit card swipe fees. And he says with businesses that make the most of their money on smaller transactions under $20, the cost of the fees is often in their top five costs and moving higher each year. If Google can capture enough transactions across millions of businesses, they can negotiate a lower overall fee. If they get the fee low enough, they can operate at zero but collect data, which is their bread and butter anyhow. I want to try Google Wallet, but it isn't supported on my GS3, even rooted running Cyanogen. I'll take your word for it about the state of the credit card swipe industry, Mike, but that is an intriguing idea of Google running the fees at net zero, just saying we'll take a loss on that because it's worth it to collect the data and be able to sell the ads. That is kind of Google's mode of operations up until now. All right, before we go, the Microsoft Xbox announcement starting off right now as we're recording the show. Ayaz, what have they said so far? It's pretty early.
Yeah, before the thing actually started 3 minutes ago, Microsoft's official presentation, but Polygon had some reports before 9:30 saying that the Kinect Sports Rivals is going to launch as an Xbox One launch title. The game's got rock climbing, jet skiing, bowling. Need for Speed Rivals is also coming. Just Dance 4 would be another title for Xbox. And one developer at Rare said that the Xbox One is launching in November. That's not yet confirmed. And right now, as Microsoft is live, Konami's on stage showing Metal Gear Solid 5. And an image says MGS goes open world. So they have a snake on a horse, actually. I'm not even making this up.
All right. So if you want to get all of our coverage today, WWDC, Xbox announcement, Sony announcement, definitely check out twit.tv/special. Or if you're watching live right now, just stay right here, live.twit.tv. If you want to suggest what part of these stories we should focus on when we wrap them up on tomorrow's Tech News Today, go to our subreddit, technewstoday.reddit.com. After you get the news you like, submit the story, or if it's already been submitted, vote it up at our subreddit, technewstoday.reddit.com. Don't forget to join us on the web anytime at twit.tv/TNT. You can also email us, TNT@twit.tv, and give us a call, 260-TNT-SHOW. We'll be wrapping up all this news on tomorrow's show with Jolie Odell as our guest. We'll see you then. We'll